Heroically, Moshe's first response to hearing about his pending retirement is not to worry about himself and to daven that will come later, to worry about getting up on top of Har Nevo and looking at Eretz Yisrael, that will come later, or Har Avarim. But his primary concern is who will his successor be. And it's a heroic moment, it's a selfless moment. It's expected of Moshe, so it's not surprising that a person of this caliber, Ish Elokim, and a person who loved Am Yisrael could be so decentralized that his first thought is who will his successor be. There's an old Katzka Vart that Moshe was afraid. Moshe was concerned. I'll mention a Rashi in a moment, which I don't know if the Katzka mentioned, but seems to reflect what he says. What was Moshe concerned about? Obviously, power vacuum of leadership, who will take over, people are vulnerable. Kutzker says, Moshe assumed that Pinchas would replace him. And if you read Parshas Pinchas, at least the juxtaposition of the two storylines highlights that Pinchas is a likely successor. He's the hero. He's not just the hero, he's also a new generation. And so much of Moshe's retirement is not only a punishment for whatever happened at Mei Meriva, but as Ramban says in Parshas Chukas, he just wasn't the leader who is suitable, and Pinchas is obviously a leader. He stops in Magefa, he holds in Magefa. He elicits a lot of opposition, a lot of remarks, but he certainly has the hearts of the people whose lives he saved most recently. And Moshe essentially doesn't think Pinchas is the right leader because Pinchas is a kanoi. He's very opinionated, Baruch Hashem, and he's very clear morally, and he has a very focused purpose, and he takes matters into his own hands, which, as I said before, is dubious in halacha, but for Pinchas is appropriate because it's during a Chilul Hashem and it holds a magefa. But aside from the question of jurisprudence and whether leaders can take the law into their own hands, there's a part of leadership that understands versatility and that people are different and that tries to tolerate and nourish those differences. And obviously, you don't tolerate or nourish a Cusby or a Zimri, but sometimes people that are so passionate and so single-minded in their purpose and so focused, they can't see others. They can't see other approaches. They can't see other lifestyles. They can't see other people. There's only one right way, and it's my way or the highway. And I know there are a lot of young adults listening to this, and it's really one of the passages of being a young adult is to try to find that way to modulate between passion and commitment and conviction and building a place in your heart for other people's lives to reside rather than railroading them or expecting them to railroad into your life. And the more calm and the more accepting you are of yourself and the more you feel at peace with yourself, the easier it is for you to make a residence for someone in your heart that's different from your residence. Because when you're young and when you still don't have a confidence in your own identity in your own life, you're always trying to build and to fortify your own identity based on negating that of others. And how do you create acceptance without blurring passion, without accepting everything, becoming so open-minded you can't take your own side in an argument, or so tolerant your brains are falling out, and Moshe's trying to find and locate that leader, and he asks Hashem, Yifkod Hashem Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar, a very interesting phrase. It appears only twice in the Torah, and Rashi comments, someone that understands Ruach Shel Kol Achaneach, a leader who understands that people are different and that they don't have the same viewpoints and the same weaknesses and the same strengths and the same definition of their Avodas Hashem. And at least in the Katzker's short, pithy statement, someone of immense passion and clear-minded focus and moral courage and vigilantism can always serve that purpose.